that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and it has rolled around again. It is time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and that's what we're doing right now, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming, this Saturday morning, August 30th, is it, Kyle?
Yes.
The month of August is all but over, but we do welcome you, and we welcome you, Lord, ask you to join us. And so good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning, and I think Jason's got a little road trip going on. He's got some things going on, so we'll open the phone lines up here in a few minutes and maybe just kind of have open mic morning. Maybe we'll do that, but we'll start out with a word of prayer here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And Kyle, would you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. It's a beautiful day here, Lord. We just thank you for another day to have the opportunity and the privilege to serve you, our King. We ask you to be with us today. Put your Holy Spirit down upon us. Watch over us, guide and protect us. Be with us on the radio. Be with our thoughts, Lord, and our tongues. Let us be able to edify one another to love and good works. Lord, keep us on that straight and narrow path. Keep us not looking to the left or to the right, but looking forward, Lord. Help us be meek, teachable. For we know, Lord, that the meek inherit the earth.
Yes.
And someday, Lord, this earth is going to be covered with meek people. Let us be a part of it. Watch over our families, our wives, our children. Watch over the remnant. Keep them close to you, all of them. Keep them under your wings, so to speak, Lord. Don't let the evil one come against us. And don't let us be evil. Again, keep us on that straight and narrow path. For we know the broad way leads to destruction. And so many have fallen down that road. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to sit here with this headset on and to be with my brothers. Again, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I like how you put it there, Kyle. It is an opportunity. I'm sitting there drinking coffee about, I got to get a new coffee pot at home because it's about, I turn that thing on at 6 and it's about 20 after before the pot's brewed. And
maybe you got a big pot.
You know, it's just a 10 cup pot. But I was thinking there when I finally got my cup of coffee that, you know, hey, I got about 10 or 15 minutes here and then I ease down and you look forward to the fellowship. I do, and I know in talking with the men, we all do. In being able to just talk with each other, knowing that there's, I don't know how many people tuning in, many people call in, but we do get emails and talk with people throughout, know that people are all around the country join us. It kind of reminds me, you know, I don't have the scripture here in front of me, but it talks about that when you're going through trials, if you know that, or know that your brethren out there are suffering as well and going through trials, and there's a comfort in that. There's a camaraderie, yeah. You know. I know that was one of the big things that got us through when Pastor passed away, is we were mourning. We knew others out there, the remnant, were mourning as well. And there's a type of comfort in that shared commonality.
It's always a bad thing to be like Elijah and think you're the only one.
Right.
You know, that's not good. And a lot of times we go through that stage where we think, nobody cares but me. You know, I mean, that's the flesh, you know.
Right.
So it's nice to know that there's other servants, other people being obedient for Christ, and they're suffering the same as you are. You
know? Yeah. And you know, on hopefully a lighter note, at least on Saturday morning for coffee, this time of the year, that it's not so much the suffering, but it's a time of fellowship. So, you know, with that, we will make sure we have the phone lines open. The buttons, yeah, they're pushed. 307-745-5913 is the phone number if you want to join us, or if you have a comment.
I thought it was encouraging to get that email from our brother there in Minnesota with his God Save America t-shirt on, and went to the county fair, Patrick, and
yeah.
He said he had a lot of people commenting on it, and a lot of people appreciating him wearing that, and talked to our brother Bill there in Kentucky, does a lot of gun shows and stuff, and his plan is to start to sell those as well, and he wears his, that's his uniform when he's doing the gun shows, and he's had a lot of positive comments on that as well. And I bet I give him a box of 500 God Save America DVDs there at Branson to hand out. And I've seen Bill work a show too. He don't just hand them to anybody. He kind of pre-qualifies them before he hands them out. And praise God, he told me the other day that all those are gone, and that people that he sees from time to time will say, you know, that was a very powerful DVD. And I think even our people don't realize how powerful that DVD is, not only exposing what's going on in this country and how we do need to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14 so that God will heal this land, but also it shows both biblically and archaeologically the true history of Israel.
Amen.
And if you want to know what the front of that t-shirt and the back of that t-shirt looks like, look at your back cover on the Dragon Slayer that you probably just received, because, and that, man, that color on that new printer is fantastic. That's just about exactly how it looks.
Yeah,
it is.
And our brother Texas in Texas come up with that design, and we thank him for that. I talked to our brother Russell there in Texas as well and said, well, if this response on these shirts is what we think it will be, you better get those presses fired up. So, Lord willing.
And it is. We have back orders for them.
Amen. Amen. They've had a really good a really good reception. I was talking to Tracy. She sends all the orders out here at the office, Kyle's wife, and yeah, we have had an excellent response. And so I think people are stepping up to the challenge. They are, you know, seeing that, just like you said, John, it's not a hard thing to do to pass out a DVD, to say, you know, especially people that, because a lot of people complain these days, you know, whether it's high gas prices or crime or whatever it is. And I think that's a good response to it. Hey, you want to know the reason why or the fix? The fix it in the 2016 election, you know. But the fix is outlined in that God Save America Again DVD. And
personal and national salvation.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And so if you'd like one of those, like Kyle said, you can look. If you look on the inside back cover of the Volume 7 Dragon Slayer, should be in your mailbox. It mailed out this past Monday. And so you should be getting that. We've emailed it out to the people that request it. And
if you'll hand out those DVDs, we'll send them to you free of charge.
Absolutely.
Because we're not here to make money. We're here just to do the Lord's work. Now, that takes money to do, and by the grace of God, the remnant has continued to support these efforts, and we can do those kind of things. Are we rich? No, we're not rich. But like I said, we're doing God's work.
Amen. Amen. And
we don't have a private jet that we fly around in. Most of us are driving 10-year-old vehicles that have well over 100,000 miles on them, but we anoint them. God keeps them going, just like the Israelite shoes didn't wear out for 40 years.
Amen. And if you'd like a God Save America Again T-shirt, and we'll make a note, they are made in America, not only printed in America, but not imported from China. The shirts are made in America. Top quality, 100% cotton. And I think, hand me that newsletter there, Kyle. I want to double check. I don't want to put a bad number out, but I think we've got a deal that if you want a T-shirt, a Made in America and Printed in America by a Family on the Ministry T-shirt, send us the size you want. We ask for a $20 donation. That covers the T-shirt, and we're going to send you with that 10 of the God Save America Again DVDs for you to pass out. And so it's almost like Brother Bill giving those DVDs out. You know, you can get a God Save America Again T-shirt, but there's a responsibility that comes with it, and that is you're going to get 10 God Save America Again DVDs, and you got to pass those out. And, you know, of the hundreds of those that we've sent out, you know, think of the additional thousands of members of the remnant that can be reached. And it's kind of on all of our shoulders to do that. So,
and if you want to copy them, go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. They should be in a. It's a full DVD. I forget what size they are, but whatever size they are, it fills it up.
Oh yeah.
So, but if you can duplicate it, fine. If not, we've got some duplicators here and printers, and we can do that. But as John said, we're doing our best to be about the Father's business to try to do as Isaiah did and preach and get the message out to the remnant.
It's another weapon, really.
Help with that.
Another mighty weapon. That DVD is another mighty weapon.
It is. Well, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Kind of felt like a fellowship morning. Mm-hmm. This morning when I got up, and that was kind of where my thoughts were going. But and we've got a brother that has told us he's coming in for church tomorrow. Sent us a text last week and said, hey, you think you got room for another small family? And it's like, yeah, we do, always. So looking forward to that. And last time
fellowship dinner tomorrow, too.
That's right. Last time that brother visited, I think it was early May, if I remember right, and about the time he made it in, a blizzard closed in behind him, and he made it to church, but we didn't from here because the roads were closed. But we don't have any snowstorms in the forecast this weekend, this Labor Day weekend, not yet.
Kind of feels like it out there in the sport.
Just about. It is some crazy weather out there. So, Well, as far as current events, John, you had mentioned something about, and Kyle had too, this one thing that's kind of been going around, and I am not familiar with it, so maybe you guys could enlighten us. This
ice bucket challenge.
Ice bucket challenge. That's kind of sweeping the nation.
I heard that, you know, quite a while ago, and for some reason I just thought there was something that wasn't right with it, and people challenged me, and I said, I ain't doing that. I said, I'm not of the world, you know, and turns out there's a couple of reasons that it's probably good that you're not doing it if you're not doing it, and if you have done it, you might want to repent, because two of the big points that I can see is ALS, the Lou Gehrig's disease. They do use stem cell research, which means that those are aborted fetuses. And another reason is apparently some Satanists have said that if you do that, was pouring the bucket of water on your head, you may be baptizing yourself in the name of Satan. If you think of it too, ALS, angelic Lucifer, or angel Lucifer Satan, or angel Lucifer Serpent. And a lot of people are saying in the name of ALS as they're doing this, pouring this water on their head. And who wouldn't put it past the enemies of God to get this viral thing going, where basically people unwillingly and unknowingly are baptizing, you know, into the satanic realm. Now, I haven't done a whole lot of research on it, but from what I've seen so far, there may be something to it.
Well, one thing that pops into mind, I didn't know this about it. I mean, I just thought it was a silly thing that was going on, and but one thing that pops in my mind while you're talking is, if you're taking an oath while you're doing anything, you need to repent. We're not to take oaths, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's things you can do out of ignorance that God has overlooked and will overlook. Thank God he's a merciful God.
Yes.
But ignorance only goes so far. You can only claim ignorance for so long. Yeah, man, if they're taking an oath while they're doing that, that's some dangerous stuff.
And I know that what little bit I've seen just in news blurbs that have come across the internet is, you know, it's like half of Hollywood is doing it, all your big names. The people that are doing it.
I think even the Abomination and his wife did it.
Because, you know, even a long time ago, you know, when my children were in school, which unfortunately was a long time ago. But anyway, it's they would do these pledges where they would walk around the track so many times for a certain cause.
Cancer,
you know,
research whatever.
I was thinking it was the same type of deal. And I was always uncomfortable with why pledges? I mean, why can't we just donate some money?
Here's $10 if that's what you wanted.
Trying to get you to do these things like this, you know, and I know this is a little different level than that, but still, I was never comfortable with pledges or oaths or anything like that.
It's you're supposed to challenge three people too. So if you look into the Illuminati and the fire and ice practices, 33, you know, 33rd degree Mason and all that, that's three is always a big number in the Masonic realm too. Oh, plus, to get this, the guy who started it apparently died mysteriously in a diving accident. So,
yeah,
that's what I know.
There's a lot to it that probably is not being spelled out to the sheeple, that's for sure.
Right. On the surface, you know, it looks like it may be a good thing because you're donating money to what appears to be a good cause, but...
Do you have to pay people to dump a bucket of ice water over you? Is that how it is?
No. If you don't do it, you're supposed to send $100 into the ALS.
Well, we are having fellowship dinner tomorrow at church, but we're not having ice bucket brigade or whatever you call it.
We ain't sending $100 into ALS.
We ain't sending $100 in either. No. So if you're coming to join us for fellowship dinner tomorrow, just be
don't
there.
Don't bring your ice bucket.
But don't bring an ice bucket. That's right. That's right. The only ice we're going to have is going to be in a big old cup with iced tea or some lemonade, and that'll work out. Well, you know, one thing that is in the headlines, and I was mentioning it to Kyle, is I guess that's why they have to have ice bucket brigades and everything else that's going on, is that the welfare has hit record levels after, and this is after the 50 years of the war on poverty. It was just last week, or actually earlier this year, but this year has been 50 years ago that President Johnson announced the war on poverty. And so now look around. 50 years. You know, I don't remember 50 years ago. I wasn't quite here.
I was.
But 50 years ago, so that's been a couple of solid generations. You know, and so look around. Look at our big cities. Look at the city of, let's say, Detroit and Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers. Why they call them the Steelers? The kids today don't know. Well, because they used to make steel in Pittsburgh. There used to be manufacturing facilities in Pittsburgh. In Detroit, Detroit was the auto capital of the world. You know, now it's Mexico, China, Japan, who knows? It's all over. But
actually, it's becoming the Muslim capital of the world now.
Exactly. But do you think that we have more poverty today than we did 50 years ago?
And what I think of course, I was only two then. Of course, but I can start remembering stuff probably when I was 5 to 7. You know, as far as that part goes, the workload, where all my friends' moms were home, and only the dads were working, and they were making it. They didn't have to have two income families, and still struggling to get by. Now, I mean, can you imagine just if. Like, if you're in a city or a suburb to a city, a big city, going to work, if you go to work at, let's say, somewhere between 7 and 9 in the morning, half the cars you're passing has a single person, a woman in it, driving. They're going to work. I mean,
yeah.
50 years ago, that wasn't the case.
No.
Men went to work. I mean, there was obviously there's always exceptions to the rule, but women stayed home, took care of the kids, got the kids off to school, you know, and even went and helped out doing certain things like that. I mean,
yeah, volunteered at the church and helped and did things and kept the home and were keepers of the home. And see, that's what one of the things the Bible says a good wife, who can find her? What's it say there in Proverbs? You read it the other day. She's a jewel.
More valuable, yeah.
More valuable than jewels. Is that what it says, Kyle?
It is. Twice.
And one of many things. And so, guess what? When your jewels are taken away, you're in poverty. You know, you're not rich anymore. Like John said earlier, we're not rich. No, we're not rich in material things. You know, I drive a 97 pickup. John's got a early 2000. Kyle's got about that same. No, we're not rich in material things. But
Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find, for his worth is far above jewels.
Yep, amen.
So, and our enemy understands that. So if they can change that good wife, if they can change that, then they can put us in poverty. By 2011, the Census Bureau data released showed that the number of Americans receiving federal welfare benefits outnumbered those with full-time jobs, year-round full-time jobs. That was 3 years ago.
Well, you know, it was back in the 30s, and I read an article about this, and I've never been able to find it since. I'd like to be able to find it again and be a good teaching. But anyways, it was a brother of Sigmund Freud, who was a snake and a serpent, and son of hell. But anyways, he's the one that in the 30s changed America from a society of needs to a society of wants. And they did that through early television, through keeping up with the Joneses, you know, where they would show the neighbor with a brand new Chevy parked in his driveway. And they'd actually show the neighbor, like, with his hand against his head, you know, thinking, how can I do that? Oh, I'll just finance it. So,
thou shalt not covet.
Yep. And
yeah.
And that has been the advertising Exactly. That's how it's been.
I mean, when it says don't covet your neighbor's ox in the Bible, just put a Chevy truck or a Ford truck there in this place. You know?
Yeah, put 2014 Chevy four-door F2500 Silverado with oversized tires. And oh, yeah, exactly.
Can't forget
those. And now they'll finance it for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have to. They have
to. I know, because they're like 70 grand.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Yeah, the relative of Sigmund Ford, I'm not sure if it was his brother, maybe his son-in-law, but his name is Edward Bernays, B-E-R-N-A-Y-S. Yeah, he's the one responsible for this consumer culture that we live in today.
Changing
and
heart,
one thing about the work, now after World War II, you know, most of, you know, Japan was totally destroyed, Germany was destroyed, many industrial countries were destroyed, and only the United States was unscathed. So there was a period there when, American products would have been basically the only thing on the market in the United States and also for export. And gradually, as these countries have recovered and developed an industrial base, and of course, they have a newer plant, you know, plant facilities because they are newer. They, you know, that accounts for some of the decline in the economy industry because there's just all these other people who are in the market.
Yeah, they said also, you know, right about the time you're talking about, nobody would buy anything foreign. So Japan actually came up with a city, a manufacturing city called USA. So it was made in USA, Japan, but it would say made in USA, and people would think that it was USA.
Yeah, yeah. Because everybody was so patriotic, you know. Of course, there was the animosity after the war. So yeah, but things have changed quite a bit. Well, they're plotting a new world war. I'm sure you know that. So maybe they have plans.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's called Armageddon.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay.
307-745-5913. Almost halfway through the Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this morning, this last Saturday of August 2014. Now, you might hear this program also on Monday night because we replay it Monday night because it's on a different shortwave frequency, and, you know, some people are doing things on Saturday morning. And so,
Like sleeping,
yeah.
At least on the West Coast.
Possibly. So,
if you've been watching the news, basically this Luis Gutierrez or whatever the heck his name is, some senator from, I don't even know where he's from, Becky somewhere, he's bragging at how they're going to legalize, you know, 6 million illegal aliens and how the economy depends on it. And in reality, he's not lying because most of the American people are so far in debt that they can't get any further in debt, and they need a new wave of people. And that's part of the reason that they want all of these illegal aliens in here and legalize them so that they can enslave them into debt as well. Not to mention the voting, if you believe that there's even any reality to the voting, which I don't. But it's still wag the dog. You don't hear much about the illegal immigration anymore.
No. Nope, there's other things going on. But there is new school curriculum coming out that's teaching on the lessons learned from the Ferguson riots and how we just have to, you know, accept these other cultures into our society. Before you know it, it'll be accepting the ISIS culture into our society, you know. And, well, we know they do beheadings on Tuesday, but it's part of their culture.
Yeah, just poke out your right eye.
And the American sheeple just go, bah, okay. Because football starts this weekend. Woo, yeah, Labor Day weekend. And then you've lost the people. There they are. That's their, that is their idol. That is where their heart is. That is where their treasure is. I remember a brother talking about his had some in-laws that had a basement room that was basically set up as a shrine to the NFL. And the children that they had, the couple children they had were, you know, typical worldly children. You know, would talk back and misbehave and all that kind of stuff, but they didn't go down into that room.
They were forbidden?
They were forbidden, and they knew. they'd get beat if they went down there. And that down in the room that, you know, there were can lights with spotlights to pictures on the wall of these football players and big screen TV. And it was a shrine.
This is man cave.
A man cave, yeah, we call it, but an absolute shrine to this. Because people don't want to think about that.
Well,
a third of Americans
are...
They don't want to think.
You know, so they occupy their mind with what they think is more fun. You know, because the rest of the stuff, that's... You might have to do something.
Seek if you pleasure. You know, avoid pain. Yep. Right? From our brother Guy. And you're absolutely right. You might have to think. So we don't want to think. We want to be entertained, which means to not think.
I mean, and people like to gripe. For some reason, they like to gripe. They like to gripe about the government. They like to gripe about everything under the sun. But if you bring up subjects where they can actually do something, that I mean, you can see, it's like you're speaking to a wall all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Their eyes change. Their whole demeanor change. They maybe start looking around like, "How am I going to get out of here?"
It's like it's like one of those clear riot shields that the riot police have. You know, it just goes up, and you're right. They glass over. I mean,
and it's like you just said this country's going to HELL. You know, I mean, now let's talk about what we can do. Let's talk about the God Save America Again DVD and what all it has in it. Oh, they don't want that. You know, I mean. A lot of them do, but, I mean, most of them don't. No.
Brother Jimmy sent me, I think it was Brother Jimmy sent me this email, and it had a series of pictures of the rioting going on and the looting there in Ferguson, and showed a Payless shoe store that they broke out all the windows and stole thousands of pairs of high-dollar tennis shoes, you know, and the caption was, "But not one pair of work boots was taken," you know, and we laughed, but that's true. Not one pair of work boots was taken, you know. Not anything to do with trying to make a living. It's all
well. You can't run from the store in work boots away.
Yeah. Well, and you look at it in this article on welfare. In 1964, 9 out of 10 men between 18 and 64 years old were employed, had jobs. 9 out of 10. The year I was born. Or at least conceived, 1964. By 2012, less than 3/4 of adult males had a job. Less than 3/4. So we've gone from 90% to less than 75% in a couple generations.
You know, the saddest part, most of them are okay with that. Just keep sending me the checks.
Yeah.
And those are white people, too, so don't kid yourself.
I'm not. But
I'm talking to the remnant. But
right. Right. That's exactly where we've come. But the people, you know, oh, let's don't worry about that. No, I got my part-time job, and I get a little supplemental assistance for the wife and little one, and you know, she works full-time and I work full-time, and that's where so many of our people are, and they just don't even realize it.
Well, I have a buddy that is part owner and a Toyota dealer, and he says you would not believe the people who come in to buy new cars that are on nothing but welfare. And when they talk to them and say, "Well, what did you used to do?" Well, you know, they used to make $10 an hour or $12 an hour or whatever. And with housing assistance, food assistance, all these different things, welfare, they're making $20 an hour, and they go in there with nothing but subsidy for a
proof of
income.
Yeah.
And they drive away with a new car. Duh.
Hey, I like my 1997 GMC pickup truck.
I like my 2003.
Yeah.
Can I put olive oil in my instead of 1030?
Run it
you
in the
can try.
Just about. That's right. Well, there's phone line ringing.
On the front bumper and the back bumper.
Yeah,
that's right, for sure. Hey, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I wish I had my 86 Ford as opposed to this brand new hunk of junk that I have. It's probably a foot shorter than the other ones. They make it look taller by raising up the hood a little bit and making the bed higher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's smaller, actually, when you go and look at it. Park it next to an older truck. They're about a foot wider.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we had an old, I think, an 88 Suburban. And, you know, that thing, the whole my whole family, and we did. We traveled cross country a couple times in that thing.
Sure.
You know, three rows of seats in the, I mean, you could put three people in the front passenger seat. The thing was so big. And you look at the Suburbans now, and they're like a mini SUV. You're right. They've gotten smaller and more expensive. And more expensive to fix.
You ever see those big old, they're shaped like the old Suburbans, the big old International.
Yeah.
They made them one at a time to order. You had to put in an order to the International Harvester, and they would manufacture it for you.
Travel-All or something they were called. Yeah.
That's right, Travel-All, I think.
Yep, I remember those.
Anyway, about this guy, Freud's cousin, Edward L. Bernays, I guess. Pastor Jones did a really excellent sermon on him. And in that sermon, he described how he marketed bacon to the people, before it was almost unheard of. I think it was called pork belly before then, and it was smoked just because there was no refrigeration. And there was a whole big marketing campaign about how bacon was good for you and you should eat it.
Yep, and I remember that now.
Have it with your eggs in the morning. And later on, he was involved in the campaign to introduce fluoridation into the water. And the spiel, I think the word spiel is Yiddish. If you you know
sounds
what I
like
mean?
It.
It's got like a Germanic sound to it, but it's a spiel. That he put the spin. He's the original spin doctor, you know.
Yeah.
He put the same spin on the campaign to have the American people accept fluoride. He used almost the same rhetoric with regards to bacon as he did with fluoride.
Yep. Well, they study us, you know.
Yeah.
Like lab rats.
Yep, he used basic human nature and molded people's thoughts and opinion. The original spin doctor. Yep.
Thanks for bringing that out, Joe.
Well, you guys have a good Saturday.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
You know, you couldn't beat those throttle body injected, the first fuel injection GM, as far as I'm concerned, because. You opened that hood, and it was like working on a 68 Camaro. There was nothing in the way, no anti-pollution. And around the same time, Ford went the opposite way, and they just, you know, anti-pollutioned everything. So, and that's what your Suburban was, the 87.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I, you know, in talking about like what Joe talked about, this original spin doctor, our people, the remnant, have great faith. They just usually have faith in the wrong thing. You know, they believe. They believe. It's just that they, you know, without having a love for the truth, you know, you kind of quantify that. Well, without having a love for the truth, they believe a lie. And we have been lied to going back to before TV, you know, but in this nation it was radio before then. Radio led into TV. You see the old Norman Rockwell pictures of the 20s and the 30s, and everybody gathered around the old tube, you know, rounded top radio for the Lone Ranger Hour or whatever it was, and that was the beginning. That was the beginning of it. And you know what's that old cowboy saying? Our pastor taught. You know, it ain't so much what we don't know; it's what we know that just ain't so. And the lies that have been put out there
in the food, in the drugs,
every aspect of our society. You know, every aspect of our society.
In the cars.
Yeah.
The chemtrails. I mean, it's just everyone.
It is. The Bible.
Do you think it might have been important for them to take over all aspects of news and media?
Yeah.
Keeping people away from the blood of Christ, which will protect them from all that stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
That's a gift from God that we can't say enough about, because
right.
there is so much poison in this land. I just did a Classic Truth a couple days ago, one of the Classic Truths that I was getting ready for Richard to make available on the Monday night show of Pastor Peters. And he was talking about, he read this writing of some Jew and their plans, and it was an old writing about how they were going to affect our food and our water and our air, it's exactly what they've did, you know. But like Pastor always would do, he would bring it back home, and he read Mark 16:16 through, you know, that we have an antidote to
yes.
all these poisons. Not that we should go out and willingly take MSG. We know,
right.
Taco Bell has MSG in their food. Stay away from it. It's a poison.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean,
oh, no, it does. You're right.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. I haven't had any for years because, you know, I started getting headaches from the MSG. But stay away from the poisons. But when you can't get away from breathing the air.
Right.
You can't get away from, you know, maybe other things. But we have a promise from God that we can drink and eat poisons and not be harmed, you know.
Yep.
And what an antidote that is. And the churches have took that away from the people by keeping them from the blood of Christ through baptism for the remission of sins.
Amen.
I think about that chart that Pastor Peters revealed several years ago. God's people affect the religious leaders, and the religious leaders affect the religion, and religion affects the spiritual condition and the political condition and the economic and social system. But, you know, and I keep that in my Bible, and I show it to people, and it's kind of a good wake-up call, too, because I don't think people realize the effect that the religion and the religious leaders have had upon the people.
Right. And God's people are the A in that. They're at the very bottom of the list, because that's where the responsibility lies.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's where the morality
right.
used
we
to
have
be.
We have economic problems today. We have social problems today. Everybody agree with that? Well, that's because of the political system. You know. Yep. Everybody probably agree with that. Yeah. These Democrats. They're blah blah blah. And you know, they forgot that the Patriot Act came under Republicans, and yeah. you know, and one of the biggest. I think you brought it up, John, or somebody did. You know, one of the biggest immigration acts came in under Reagan, and so they'll say, "Yeah, there's political problems." Well, that's because of the spiritual condition of the people. Yeah, people. Oh, they just don't. Yeah, and that's because of the religion, because of the religious leaders, and it's because God's people allow it.
Yeah, I'm looking at my chart here. You said A, and Pastor Peters, when he made this, he put A where? At the bottom.
At the bottom.
Because that's the foundation. And once the foundation is destroyed, everything above it's going to be a mess.
Right.
I mean, if you look at it from a construction site, I mean, do you know the problems you'll have when the foundation is destroyed? I mean, the whole house is going to just
doesn't matter what
fall.
What goes above, yeah. that foundation.
Or
that,
just weakened.
Or yeah. just weakened and
right.
cracked. And
right.
I mean, just everything that'll
yep.
come about, you know.
If that house is not built on that solid rock.
And so the people at the bottom, they love to talk about the economic part, how poor they are, how, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, go to the barbershop if you want to talk about that stuff. And the political, oh, man, do they rail on the political. And whatever party they're not part of.
Half the radio stations.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to go to the problem, you know. And that's, what are you going to do about it? Because you're not going to do about it. Anything about it in the voting booth, you know, that's been tried. You're not going to do anything about it by going back to the Constitution. That's been tried.
Been tried.
You know, the way you're going to do something about it, and it's let's beat the drum again, is change yourself, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, start walking in the Spirit, establishing God's laws. That's the only way out. You know.
Amen.
But they don't want to go there. The barber,
nope.
The barber in Laramie don't want to go there anyway.
You've asked him, huh?
Well, I've only went in there once or twice, but yeah, I mean, it's like, man, when I start talking about what we could do, he didn't, you know, all of a sudden there's that look, you know, and all of a sudden he's just cutting my hair all of a sudden, not talking anymore.
Yeah.
But griping about the politics, boy, yeah. He was all for that.
You're brave if you're putting him on the spot when he's got scissors in his hand and trimming your hair.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure Dad did that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yep. Well, before time runs out, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We've got about 15 minutes left here on the program, but you're more than welcome to visit us there in La Porte. Just give us an email or a text. Let us know you're coming. We'd sure appreciate that if you're coming in person. But you can come and join us on the Internet at the website, scriptures4america.org. And if you click on there, at the scriptures4america.org, and then in the upper left-hand corner, the live video stream, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Then you can join us for the live two-hour church service. And we'll be down there. We'll have start out either a view of the news or a scriptural insight and study. And then we'll have a welcome and some good music and a communion service and a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. And so we do encourage you to do that. It's important to not forsake the assembly. It's important to gather together to hear the word read. Faith comes by
hearing.
And it's important to gather and take communion. You know, we put together the unleavened bread, and we have our juice that's grape juice mixed with a little bit of water. And we pray over that, and we pray that, you know, for the blessings to come from the partaking of communion and partaking of that which symbolizes the broken body and the blood that our Lord and Savior shed. And, you know, the Bible tells us that when we do that we are to examine ourselves. And, you know, it's not in the communion service the only time that we're told that. We're told that throughout the scriptures. You know, look to yourself. Take the beam out of your own eye before you try to take the splinter out of your brother's. Look to yourself. Judge yourself so that you can judge others. I mean, it's throughout the scriptures that we're told to do that. And I think it's just like what Kyle said. You know, people don't want to hear, well, what can we do? We can't do anything about it. Yeah, you can. You start with yourself. You start with that man in the mirror, and you start there. And communion is a time for us to do that.
Here's a good scripture to think of when you're getting ready to partake, and that's Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Don't go to the communion table thinking you're something.
Right.
Go to the communion table knowing you're nothing without Christ.
Amen. Yeah, put on humility and
amen.
Repentance. Well, looking at this chart, talking about the foundation, the enemies of God know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if they can remove God and the Spirit of the Lord, then they destroy that foundation, and that's what they're doing. And basically, this Freedom from Religion Foundation, if you look deep into any one of these attacks against Christianity or against anything to do with God, against military symbols of crosses, and just anything that's good, really. But they really named it wrong. It's not freedom from religion. What it is freedom from Christianity.
Absolutely.
I mean, they do not attack the Jews. They do not attack the Muslims. They attack the Christians. And they know that there's only one God that can defeat them, and there's only one power. And when our people get their obedience straight, he will punish their disobedience. And that's why they're doing all that they can to get as many of them as they can over to their side. But you know what? They're pathetic. There's 22,000 of them. They need to either repent or they will perish.
Amen.
And Lord willing, we're working on a prayer, powerful prayer for next month to do that. And then if we can get the remnant to join together and we pray, believing, But, you know, for our prayers to be powerful, we have to have our life right with God. And if you're praying over people and you're not taking that seriously, then you shouldn't be praying over people. That alone, with the things that are coming, ought to get you to straighten up.
You're right.
Yep. Our enemy,
I'm not preaching to just you. I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah. Our enemy understands Psalms 91, that 1,000 of them will fall at our left hand, and 10,000 of them will fall at our right hand. And they don't have enough people to have 11,000-to-1 odds, 11,000 of them to one of us. But they know, just like you said, John, if they can keep us in sin, as you said, Kyle, keep us away from the blood of Christ, well, they can narrow those odds down, you know? And they don't have to come against us. If they can keep us in sin and keep us away from that blood, God will deal with us. But when we do repent, when we do come to Him in humility and humbleness, not thinking we're something because we've done such and such or we've thought this, we are nothing. We are nothing without Christ. And nobody is anything without Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Not the mayor, not the governor, not the people in the meet. Nobody. Not me, not you. But with Christ, well, we can do all things.
See, sometimes we forget that we were the most blessed and prosperous nation in the history of the world. And why was that? Because we honored and we loved God and we followed His commandments and His laws. And we did bless all the other nations because God's word said that we would bless all the other nations.
Amen. Well, got the phone line ringing again. We've got a few more minutes. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Wonderful day out here. Sun's even shining there. It's magnificent here in Ohio. And you know that the book by Raymond Capp, that's the pyramid decoded there, you know. It mentions that word Hyksos, you know, Shepherd King. And I always think of myself a Hicks from the sticks out here, but I had a question to you know, we grew up with the German food and stuff like that, and we never had sardines, and it was only the last 7 years once in a while they put up cans for a good MRE. But I've often said, do sardines have scales? You know, that's going to be a prerequisite for a clean food. And
do they have scales? I didn't know that.
I don't know.
I think they do. I think they're small. As far as I know, sardines are clean. Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
So they don't have scales.
Right.
Or, yeah, they do have scales. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It takes a while to get adapted to it there. And I was going to mention, you know, the book that read, War Cycles and Peace Cycles, a wonderful book by Richard Kelly Hoskins. And it takes a while. You got to first peruse it, but once you reread it a couple times, you get the grist, and it's pretty heavy. Heavy with some good information there. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, I thought I'd touch base with you. Really, I got to listen to the rebroadcast. I only comes outside. I missed half of it there. That's an unforgivable. Yeah. I want to wish you guys a great day here out there. And I really enjoy when Joe calls in. Joe seems to be fraught with all kinds of good information there.
Yeah.
Have a good day. See you later. Thanks.
All right, Gary. Thank you. Call from Ohio there. And appreciate that.
Well, tune in to church tomorrow when the teaching that I'm going to bring is I'm going to bring 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and the battle of King Jehoshaphat. I think we often forget what happened at that battle.
That's the guy they call talking about jumping Jehoshaphat.
I don't know about that, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says.
Well, good. Good. And, you know, we need to go back to our history and see what's happened in the past. The Bible says these things were written down for our learning, for us to go back and look and see. And, you know, some of those stories are good examples for us, and some are bad examples for us. You know, things not to do. You know, we can look at the life of David. There were many things that he did that were good and godly and biblical. He was a type of Christ. And so there's things that we read in that that we are to
benefit us.
They are.
We're going to learn one way or the other. We either learn not to do the things that we're not supposed to and do the things that we are supposed to.
And many people will agree that, you know, we if we do not learn from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And that rings true. It truly does. If we don't learn from the Bible, then we're doomed to make the same mistakes. It's really as simple as that.
Well, yeah, Joel 1, verse 2. Hear this, O elders, and listen, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or in your father's days? Tell your sons about it, and let your sons tell their sons and their sons the next generation.
Yes.
That's the entire book we're supposed to be telling to our sons and their sons and the next generation.
Well, I think Psalms or Proverbs where it talks about, you know, put those things around your neck and wear them.
Oh, yeah, write them on the doorpost of your house, and absolutely.
Right.
Does that mean we're to tattoo them down our arms and have
them?
That
means fathers,
have
fathers and
everywhere.
Mothers are to teach them from a youth up.
Yes.
And it will stay with them, you know. And that just, well, like John said earlier, it's not dumb anymore.
Those are those layers of protection that have been taken away.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you getting up early this morning and joining us here for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in and joining us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, because we gathered in your name. And we know we're two or more gathered in your name, that you are there also. And so we thank you for that. Again, we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And just right there at the website, scriptures4america.org. And if you get this broadcast Monday night and you miss church, well, we archive the messages there as well. We also record it and send out a two-hour DVD church every Monday. It'll be Tuesday this week because Monday's a holiday. And all the offices are closed because Monday's Labor Day. But we do encourage you to come to church with us. If you miss it on Sunday, you can go back and watch it at the website on the archives at scriptures4america.org. Thanks again for joining us.
Rolling, 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 stay calm.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.